You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Weed, grass, ganja, joint, doobie, doo, chronic, ace, lobo, loco, love boat, bud, Buddha, blunt, pot, pet, pin, chiba, chiba, 420, and hashish, or hash for short. It's all marijuana.
This is Marijuana Media.
Come here, man.
Hey, welcome, Rick.
Thanks for having me back.
You were such a great guest the last couple of times. We thought, hey, why not come down, mix it up? Chris Fowley has got a cold, but if there's anyone in town that knows what's up, you're the man to call.
That's right. And thank you to Chris Fowley of Normal for being the sponsor of my film, Drug Lord. Mm-hmm. Actually a trilogy. Part 2 is coming out very soon.
Is Part 2 kind of like The Empire Strikes Back? Or?
Well, if The Empire is cannabis, then yes, because it's all about the progress that's being made all over the world. The final part of the film is set in Uruguay, where I filmed for 6 months last year. And in Uruguay, you can grow at your leisure. You can get a license from the government to grow cannabis, and you can walk into 16 pharmacies throughout the country. It's a small country. And in these 16 pharmacies, you can buy cannabis over the counter for $2.50 a gram for very high quality cannabis. And the government uses the revenue for drug rehabilitation and treatment for those who present with a problem. So it's a much more sensible way of regulating cannabis than what you have in most countries in the world, which is outright prohibition.
Mm-hmm. I had Russell Brown in studio on Tuesday, and we began talking about his experience of going to it was like the UN summit on drugs, which happened in the States last year. And he was saying, yes, the tide is sort of turning globally, he sort of thought that New Zealand would follow suit and maybe follow some of the other countries' leads in the next few years, hopefully, fingers crossed. And he was saying Canada might present itself as quite a good case study of how to do it.
Yes, I think Canada will be the model that New Zealand follows because it's a G8 country. So it's perceived as being successful, it's perceived as being a role model for other countries to follow, and unfortunately I think the Uruguayan system is far more appropriate for New Zealand because we have very similar climates, very social climates as well as actual climates, and the same size, same land mass in both countries, same population. They're very similar countries, agricultural country as is New Zealand. And I think that their system there is far more appropriate, and I'm hoping that that will be the system that is adopted here, not the Canadian system.
Is that just because it's slightly more relaxed, as in people can just grow it outdoors and it just becomes something, you know, like a tomato plant or a pumpkin thing in the garden?
You still have to apply it to a government bureaucracy. It's very simple though. There's a two-page form that you fill out, and then you get your license, and you can have as many plants as you like as long as there are no more than 6 flowering at any time. You can grow them in your front yard. Theft might be a problem, but the police won't be a problem, so yeah. So that's the most important thing, that the population shouldn't be living in fear of their own police force. The police are there to serve us, and they're not there to punish us for doing something that's not harming anyone.
Yes.
Which is what they're currently doing.
Now, in Uruguay, is that Spanish speaking?
Yes.
Okay, so you're currently editing that part of the film. I think we talked about this last time, and you've got a guy locally to edit it who speaks fluent Spanish.
That's right. My Spanish is not good enough to handle the more complicated parts of the dialogue.
Mm-hmm. Is it, so this is just editing with subtitles? Does he edit it and then caption it?
No, I add the subtitles. Mm-hmm. Like, my Spanish is good enough to understand what he's selected, mm-hmm. but not good enough to see the connections between the various speakers. A lot of the dialogue is quite emotional, so it's not being clearly expressed is, you know, people are, they have their children in their laps in a lot of these scenes that I filmed, and I was able to ask enough questions to elicit these responses where they're literally crying. Mm-hmm. And so it's quite difficult to understand Spanish when it's spoken so emotionally. But once he's selected those parts, my Spanish is good enough to do the subtitles.
Okay, cool.
Is there any, obviously you're just in the midst of editing at the moment, are there any stories developing in New Zealand or around the world that you could sort of incorporate into the film, or are you just trying to finish off what you've got in front of you? Are you developing more stuff at the moment?
Well, there are some interesting stories that have arisen in New Zealand and in Australia as well in the last few months, but I've got thousands of hours to edit, so I haven't been filming too much. I do want to make a third part of the film, so we may start filming again, but we're trying to fund that on Patreon. That's the most important thing. There can't be a third part to this trilogy without people getting behind it. So if you can go to Patreon, to our Drug Lord Patreon site, www.patreon.com/druglord, and if you pledge just $1, you'll be subscribed to see all of the episodes that we've released in the past and all the ones that we'll release in the future.
Mm-hmm. It's Drug Lord, like strong arm of the law, not like, yeah, Lord as in the
exactly.
Dark Lord.
No, correct, like Outlawed, Druglawed.
Cool.
And is there, just in like sort of more day-to-day topical marijuana news, is there anything sort of interesting that has popped up or tickled your fancy? I saw the article about either Colorado or California deciding that gummy edibles were no more because they were too close to children's food.
That's right, and I think that's a valid concern. You don't want to produce products that may be confused for, you know, a harmless thing like a gummy bear. So I think that the labeling needs to be very clear, and perhaps they need to package it in such a way that a child can't open it mm-hmm. easily. But I think that's a fair point. If your main problem is that you don't want children to access it, which is the mainstay of the prohibitionist argument, is that, oh, the children, it's all about the children, and oh my goodness, the children, yes, let's protect the children, that's a great idea, so let's ban those gummy bear like products so that children don't get high.
It seems it seems like a funny argument when the access to firearms over there at the moment has just been sort of highlighted recently. It just seems so bizarre that they would put their foot down on something like that, but yet someone can go and buy 10 semi-automatic weapons with a fitting that'll turn them into automatic weapons.
Correct, and it's often the same conservative speakers who are complaining about the gummy bears that are defending the National Rifle Association and are defending these companies that are making billions of dollars in profits by selling semi-automatic weapons which can be easily modified with an appendage that you can buy from the same gun store often to convert it into a fully automatic assault rifle. And so it's quite hypocritical that the gummy bears are, you know, being attacked by these people and not the assault rifles.
Mm-hmm. And just lastly, what are your thoughts on the sort of the outcome of the election and where we might be headed with policy in New Zealand? Do you have any hints or feelings about, you know, the coalition that might get formed and where they might go with drug reform in New Zealand?
Well, I'm hoping that Greens, Labour and New Zealand First get together, because then there's a chance that we'll have some real progress. If National are in charge, I think we're going to go nowhere until the next election. And National have just dug their heels in. It's impossible for them to admit that they're wrong now, because they've painted themselves in a corner. So they have to basically stay the prohibitionist course, which is, of course, a terribly disastrous move.
Very conservative.
Yeah, it's idiotic. I mean, if true conservatism would, you know, if you're talking about constitutional conservatism, would not allow for prohibition, because there's nothing, I'm referencing the U.S. Constitution, there's nothing in the U.S. Constitution that allows for prohibition, absolutely mm-hmm. nothing. In fact, there's restraints placed on the government over creating laws that impinge too much on our personal liberties.
Yeah.
And prohibition definitely does that. They're basically saying you're allowed to take this range of dangerous drugs, alcohol, cigarettes, pharmaceuticals, but you're not allowed to take this range of often less dangerous drugs, because they've made some kind of moral
call.
Choice.
Just drawing a line in the sand, essentially.
Exactly. Not based on science. It's not based on the relative harms of drugs. It's just based on some kind of Christian conservative position that is not a constitutional position at all.
Mm. Yeah, crazy. All right, well, here's hoping we get the desired outcome with the local politics, and we start making some headway. And just one more time, for anyone that's curious about your films or would be interested in supporting them, where do they go?
You can go to druglord.vhx.tv, that's druglawed.vhx.tv, to download any of the films that we've already released. But I would prefer that you go to patreon.com/druglord, patreon.com/druglawed, and pledge just $1 or more if you like, and you'll receive all of the films and features that we have already released and all the ones that we are going to make in the future.
Cheers, Rick. Thank you so much for coming up to BFM.
Thanks, Johnny.